Welcome everyone. My name is Ina Müller. I'm one of the co-editors of the Earth System Governance Early Career Researchers newsletter. And today I will be speaking with Professor Frank Biermann from Utrecht University. And the reason for this is because we are writing the year 2019, and it's a bit more than 10 years ago that the Earth System Governance Project was first initiated. So we thought this would be an excellent opportunity to have a look back at the earliest stages of the Earth System Governance Project and to listen a little bit to Frank's experiences and also his advice for us early career researchers. So I would like to start by asking you about your first memory of the Earth System Governance Project.
Good. Thank you so much, Ina. Thanks a lot. Well, the Earth System Governance Project actually dates back more than 10 years even. That's almost 20 years of history that we are concluded now last year with the conference here in Utrecht. There's, on the one hand, there is a conceptual history that like 20 years ago, 18 years ago, I and others, we were dissatisfied, tremendously dissatisfied by the state of environmental policy research and the notion of environmental policy as such, which I felt was too much a concept dating back to the 1970s, relating to the environment of the human person and not sufficiently taking into account the tremendous global challenges of Earth system transformation that we are experiencing, in fact. Climate change, the decline of biodiversity, ocean acidification, ozone depletion, so many other issues that are happening at a global scale, at long time periods, and that are not sufficiently captured by the more traditional, more conservative term in a way of environmental policy. And therefore, the term, the concept of Earth system governance emerged as a new field in politics, as a new subject matter of governance, where the topic is not the limited environment of the human person, but the entire Earth system. And the transformation of the Earth system, the agency of humans in harming and in changing the Earth system, and then for governance scholars, the challenge of how we can really deal with these challenges and how we can steer our societal systems, political systems, in a direction that we can achieve sustainable development and keep the Earth system in boundaries that make the co-evolution of human nature possible at the global scale. So this was a major challenge of Earth system governance. And then in organizational terms, at that time, the International Human Dimensions Program on Global Environmental Change was a major global research program that has ended a couple of years ago. This major program, the IHDP, wanted to launch a new core project on institutions and governance. Core project is a larger network of researchers under this major program that would, in this case, then focus on the institutional and governance aspects. There had been an earlier core project on institutions that was headed at that time by Oren Young, and this ended in a synthesis conference in 2006 in Bali. And so the community felt at that time that we need to continue, that we need to build up a new core project that would deal with issues of institutions and governance. And I was asked at that time to develop a first concept and to build up this new core project of the IHDP. So here the conceptual development of Earth system governance theory met the need to build up, or the invitation to build up, a new global research project, a global research network on these issues. And this led then to the invitation, the formal invitation by IHDP to form, I mean, this is all a little bit formal as it sounds now, but it is also formal, International Global Research Programs. So we were invited to set up a scientific planning committee for the Earth System Governance Project. And this scientific planning committee came up with a science plan that was written between 2006 and 2008. And then the science plan was formally accepted by IHDP, and then the Earth System Governance Project started in 2009 with its operations. So this is kind of the history, but we also write, actually, we're publishing an article on that in the journal current opinion in environmental sustainability. It's an article that is almost out, so the Kelly proofs are on my desk. And this is an article that kind of represents and sketches the experiences that we had with the Earth System Governance as a project.
Mm-hmm. And what was your personal sort of driving motivation to be engaged in all of this? It sounds like a lot of work, but what motivated you to go?
Well, I mean, first of all, I love it. It was really a lot of fun. I mean, it was a tremendously satisfying period of work. I mean, to set it all up, we had great colleagues with whom we are setting up the planning committee and later the scientific steering committee, and then the entire community emerged. And this was really a very, very satisfying network that has emerged. And then I was also very, very motivated by the need to develop a new approach that is better able to deal with these challenges and to help us understand these challenges in a novel way, in a better way, that is more interdisciplinary, that has a planetary perspective, that is also stakeholders and with societal actors, so it's not only science from the more disciplinary perspective, but also science that is trying to engage with and address policy issues and policymakers in a novel way, maybe. And then there's global collaboration. I really believe that to address these challenges, we have to work together at the global scale. Researchers from different countries, different continents have to work together. So these issues cannot be resolved by small university departments and chairs and professors alone. It needs to have a larger network of researchers. And this is necessary. I very much believe so. And this is what we try to achieve with the Earth System Governance Project. And I'm extremely happy that it continues. I mean, that we now are engaging in the second decade of operation. It's a very large network. We believe it's the largest network in its field worldwide and still growing. Lots of activities, variety of issues. And it's a great pleasure to see all these developments.
Now, this all sounds very positive, and I'm sure there's great things about the Earth System Governance Network, but I'm sure there are also some challenges that you were facing when you first set it up, but also to keep it running.
Well, I mean, it's on the one hand, it's a scientific endeavor, so it's a lot about ideas and research and theories, etc. But on the other hand, it's also very much about managing a network. And challenge number one, unsurprisingly, maybe it's money. So there is zero financial support for these kind of activities, and that means that when I launched this thing, I really had to go around with a pen or with a hat and collect money from whoever wanted to donate in a way to the cause. And this is very difficult because research funding organizations, they are willing in a sense, or they're prepared to fund research, but the coordination of research is traditionally underfunded. So it's very difficult to get money to organize and fund a global research program. I mean, this is especially the money that we need for the Secretariat, the International Project Office that is managing and organizing all these activities. And there's no international research agency in a way that is willing to pay money in this. So in the beginning, we were very lucky to get some seed money from the IHGP. So they paid for the first year of operation of the International Project Office. And then afterwards, we are very grateful for Lund University in Sweden because they were willing to pay and host the International Project Office for 8 years at Lund in Sweden. And I think without this support, I mean, the entire Earth System Governance Project might not have taken off the way it has taken off. And now the University of Utrecht is paying for the next 5 years for this International Project Office. And this is extremely important support without which this network would probably survive, but in a different form. And then, of course, other challenges are the negotiation with all kind of international organizations that also have ideas about how global research programs and projects have to be shaped. So it's a lot about politics. And then also it's a lot about getting the community together. So it's a lot of talking and meeting people and engaging with people. and trying to jointly develop new ideas on how new research activities could happen. So this is also a major challenge. It's actually, on the one hand, it's a tremendous fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it and still enjoy it. But it's also a lot of work and meeting. I mean, it's time. It's an effort of time. And I mean, on the other hand, challenges also between to find a meeting ground between the ideals and the practicalities. So on the one hand, we have, of course, the ambition of being extremely interdisciplinary, bring in all the disciplines, but it's not easy. And we have certainly succeeded with some, but other disciplines like economics are totally outside or largely outside the scope of the project so far. We had ideals of transdisciplinarity, working with stakeholders, practitioners, but it's very difficult also to really have a meaningful engagement that is satisfying to both sides. So we worked in this direction, we had some successes, but we are certainly not as effective as we wanted to be. And I think the biggest challenge is, or one of the bigger challenges, is certainly also global diversity in the project. So we tried very hard to have integration and collaboration of scholars from all continents, north and south, east and west, all in this project working together on joint research agendas. But in the end, I mean, if you look at a conference, we worked very hard, but it is still very much an OECD-based activity. I mean, partially even on a per capita level, I mean, very much European-based, Australian-based, a little bit, I mean, United States also, of course. But we are missing participation still from Africa, from Latin America, from parts of Asia. And I think this is a big agenda still for the next generation that has taken over the leadership on this project and now. So we tried very hard. And I think we had, I mean, the biggest, probably the biggest success where we are most proud of is has been the conference in 2016 in Nairobi that we organized on the campus with large African participation. And I think this is a conference that sets us maybe also apart from some of the other networks. And the next conference will be in Mexico. So there is certainly a good progress in the direction of more global diversity, and I hope that it continues in this direction.
Great. And what about things you've learned? Like, if you have one lesson, so if you take away from setting up the Earth System Governance Project.
I mean, one lesson is, I mean, you have to invest a lot and in a variety of activities, and you have to expect that lots of them don't work. So in a sense, you have to expect that from all kind of emails and funding requests and meeting requests and visits at different places, there's a lot of initial enthusiasm in many places, but then the follow-up, you have to expect that a lot of these efforts do not work. So you have to be to have more efforts so that some work. But also you have to understand that you have to plan also in a way that you are minimizing the risk of all kind of things that can go wrong. So that is, it's again what I just mentioned, the tension between the ideals and the practicalities, that one has to be in a way modest in the ambitions so that at least something works out. And that's what we tried. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of one of the lessons, so to speak.
Most of us listening to this podcast are early career researchers, so many of us just started either with a PhD or the postdoc or are still sort of at early stages, but we're also part of the Earth System Governance Project, or at least maybe we will be in future for those who aren't yet. What would be some advice that you would give to us on the way as being sort of the new faces in this project?
Well, first of all, I mean, that's as you mentioned, I think just join the project for those who haven't, because it's really a great opportunity, especially for early career researchers, to work together. I mean, so many early career researchers are located at relatively small departments, or they're located at big departments, but they're the only people who really work with Earth System issues in the political science department, for example. So they tend to be sometimes rather isolated. And the Earth System Governance Project gives you the opportunity to collaborate globally with scholars at different career stages who have share an interest in the same field. interdisciplinary, so it's different from the more professional organizations where everybody has the same disciplinary background. Earth System Governance Project is interdisciplinary. It goes beyond national borders. It's a global approach. It's more policy-oriented in a way that's it's more solution-oriented. So I think it's certainly not a community of people who are just interested in the next paper. Also, I mean, there are also career researchers have to publish, but sometimes it feels more like almost like a social movement in a way that is really driven by people, especially young people, who want to achieve change. They want to be an agent of change, and they want to achieve this through their research, and they want to achieve this through being part of the Earth System Governance Project. So in a sense, advice number one is join the movement, join the community, become part as a research fellow, and the details are all laid out on our website, and I'm sure that Ina can also point you to the right sources. The more personal advice is live up your dreams. I think that's very important. I mean, I think it's very important for early career researchers just take risk and just think about something big that you feel is very important to you. So don't just look at the footnotes of all the other papers that have already been published and try to add the next footnote. Just try to really, don't be afraid of just saying something that nobody else has ever said before. I think that's kind of always fun. You have a certain risk, of course. I mean, your papers might get rejected, and I have lots of them. Or you have problems with reviewers in journals and all this kind of stuff. But on the other hand, it's certainly more fun. It's more engaging and might also be more rewarding. I mean, it's kind of, so my advice is really, I mean, if you have a funky idea that nobody has, and just go for it. I mean, check it out, ask a couple of people maybe. But generally, I mean, don't be afraid and just don't try to add one footnote to all the other footnotes. Just try to do something that you really, I mean, if you feel passionate about it, of course. No? And then just go in this direction and just, if it's a funky idea, then just try to do something with it and try to convince others it's not funky and that sometimes it will be mainstream, I guess. Good.
So that's, Frank has given us a very good first example of just following your dreams and thinking big and realizing them. And so it's really been a pleasure to talk to you and hear about your experiences about this, and we'll take you as an example in our pathways forward.
And I hope to see you all at the next conference. I mean, many of you. It's the next conference in Mexico. I hope to see many. And since I'm no longer the chair of the Earth System Governance Project, but just one of its humble servants, so to speak, I have much more time to engage with early career researchers. So I'm hoping, looking forward to meet many people at the next conference in Mexico, and then the next conference in 2020, which is at a place that has not been disclosed. It'll be a fantastic place as well.
We're excited to hear more about it. All right, thank you very much for listening. Thanks for reading our early career research newsletter. And thanks for being here, Frank, today and telling us about your experiences.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Ina.